Morning, everyone, on this beautiful spring day at the end of January. We're ready to proceed with the first case, Hamilton versus Astru, 12-3085. And Mr. Horn.
Morning, Your Honor, counsel, ladies and gentlemen. May it please the court. I represent Rhonda Hamilton, and she had two hearings on her Social Security case. At the second hearing, testimony was that she could sit for 20 to 30 minutes in a stiff chair. The doctors, her treating physicians, agreed that she could sit 20 minutes. One of them signed off on the estimate of, or the assessment of a physical therapist that Hamilton can sit for 20 minutes. The administrative law judge, in denying the claim, went back and looked at Hamilton's first hearing. And at Hamilton's first hearing, Hamilton testified consistently with what she said at the second hearing. She said she could sit for 15 to 20 minutes in a straight back chair and 1.5 hours in a lazy boy. That's at 104 of the transcript. Her testimony at the second hearing that she could sit 20 minutes is at pages 59 and 60. The vocational experts at both hearings testified that somebody who had to change position that often wouldn't be able to find work in the competitive economy. The ALJ, in her decision at page 37 of the record, wrote that Hamilton could sit that Hamilton at her first hearing had testified she could sit 15 minutes to an hour, not 15 minutes in a stiff back chair, as she, 15 or 20 minutes in a stiff back chair as she testified, and 1.5 hours in a lazy boy. The ALJ seems to have thought that she could sit for from 15 minutes to an hour in any chair. And that was presented as apparently an inconsistency with her testimony at the second hearing. The ALJ can rely on inconsistencies if they exist, but the ALJ doesn't get to accidentally or otherwise make them up. It looks like the ALJ in question hurriedly noted down the overall parameters of Hamilton's testimony at the first hearing, but it overlooked the qualifications as to 15 or 20 minutes in a straight back chair and an hour and a half in a lazy boy. The ALJ then decided.
Where in the working world does one find a lazy boy?
That's right. There aren't any lazy boys. You don't get to lay down on the job either.
Well, you'd lie down. You wouldn't lay down, but go ahead.
Right. You're right, Judge. Another question is, where did the 45-minute limitation that the ALJ found come from? There wasn't any.
Her only job would be a federal court of appeals judge.
Well, there used to be an ALJ in Gary, who's now retired, who used to say you could get a job as a mattress tester.
And denied benefits on that basis?
Well, not after his cases had been appealed enough.
Okay. Could I ask you, Mr. Horn, there was some interest in both the briefing and the ALJ's decision about this car trip that
right.
Ms. Hamilton made that seemed inconsistent with the seated endurance limits. Could you address what are we to make of that?
Well, I wrote for the magistrate that nobody knew what kind of seat she was in. And the key to her ability to sit was the softness of the seat and whether it would recline. Well, car seats recline, and there was never any evidence brought out about what kind of seat she was in the car. Apparently, she testified that she got out of the car every couple of hours. The magistrate judge thought that was a strong argument, but he overlooked it anyway. If that answers the questions, the final issue is going back to the first hearing. If an ALJ is going to go back to the first hearing to look for evidence, the ALJ ought to consider all the evidence in the first hearing, not just the evidence that supports the decision the ALJ wants to make. And, of course, that goes primarily to the testimony by claimant that she could sit 15 to 20 minutes in a straight back chair and an hour and a half in a Lazy Boy. So those are the reasons that the decision of the magistrate should be
reversed. Mr. Horn, if we were to agree with you on this question of seated endurance, should the result be a remand or an order of benefits?
Well, of course, I think the safer course would be to, what is always going to be, to remand for consideration of what the evidence is. It's not inconceivable that a trier of fact could come to a different conclusion, although all the medical evidence indicates that there's a 20 to 30 minute limitation on sitting
and sitting. Is there any medical evidence to the contrary? That's what I'm asking. Is there an issue to be tried if we remand?
I'm not. Well, you could say that Dr. Slodke said that there was, that she's limited to sedentary work. And, if you view that in the light most favorable to the government, then that leaves out any sit-stand option altogether, because he didn't mention one. Of course, the ALJ didn't ask him about one.
Mr. Horn, you're into your rebuttal time.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Horn. Ms. Benz.
May it please the Court. My name is Julie Benz, representing the Commissioner of Social Security in this case. And as Mr. Horn indicated, the key issue in this case is whether substantial evidence supports the ALJ's determination that Ms. Hamilton retained the ability to perform a reduced range of sedentary work with a sit-stand option, changing position every 45 to 60 minutes.
I'm really having trouble squaring what the ALJ said in terms of the inconsistencies, because it seems to me between the first hearing and the second hearing there really was not a serious inconsistency.
I disagree, Your Honor, that what Ms. Hamilton said at the second hearing was that she could sit for about 20 minutes in a straight back chair and then had to recline straight out in a recliner. What she said at the first hearing is that she could sit for 20 to 30 minutes in a straight back chair, but that she could sit for an hour to an hour and a half in a chair that provided back support. And then she gave a Lazy Boy as one example of a chair that provided back support. At no time did she say she had to recline and had to lie down. She did say she spent about 3 hours a day in bed and a considerable rest of the portion of the day sitting in a recliner. There is also the additional evidence that
Just stop you for a minute, because my brother, Judge Bauer, talked about the fact that you don't have Lazy Boy chairs that recline at most jobs, but do you just have lazy boy chairs, period?
Well, she didn't.
Where you can have a lazy
boy. I agree, but she did not say that she could only sit comfortably in a reclining position. She said, I can sit comfortably.
Why would one have a lazy boy chair if one didn't use the reclining position?
I can only speak for myself that I have one and I sit up in it without reclining very frequently. I don't know that it's a term of art, but it is possible, Your Honor.
You bought the hair. Yeah, I suppose it's possible, but I mean, I want to know why you would select a lazy boy generally, unless you intended at some time or another to recline. And if you're
and I do sometimes recline. But the point is that what Ms. Hamilton said is, I can sit for an hour to an hour and a half in a chair that provides back support, such as a lazy boy. You also have a treatment note from Dr. Dugan, her treating physiatrist, who said, reflected that she could sit for about 20 minutes in a straight back chair, but for about 2 hours on a soft surface chair. There is also the issue, again, as the ALJ noted, of the car trip. Asking what kind of seat she was in, she was in the driver's seat. She testified that she did all the driving, and she drove 10 to 12 hours she did without stopping overnight and with stopping to rest every couple hours. While I agree that the fact that she took a car trip like that is not dispositive of the fact that she could take a car trip like that every day, it certainly is inconsistent with a statement that she can only sit for 20 minutes without reclining, because you also cannot drive while you're reclining.
She was probably in desperate pain all the way down there. Of course, when I was driving, I said she was probably in desperate pain all the way down there. Of course,
she did not say so.
If I were driving to Kentucky, I'd be in desperate pain as well.
Well, that I think has to do with the destination rather than the physical condition, Your Honor.
This was only one trip. I mean, I think this is blown way out of proportion in terms of when you look at the total picture. One trip to Kentucky where she stops every 2 hours.
But that is also consistent with a statement, with Dr. Dugan's treatment notes, again, not in the context of an application for disability, that she could sit for 2 hours in a soft surface chair. And it is certainly inconsistent with a statement that she can't sit for more than 20 minutes without having to stop and then recline full out because of pain. It is
Ms. Hamilton asked about these specifics about these supposed contradictions, or is this just the ALJ's extrapolations from what she said?
It's not an extrapolation. I do not believe she was asked specifically about consistent, but extrapolation is, that's her job, her weighing of the evidence, is looking at the inconsistencies that are there.
The question is whether there's an inconsistency, and sometimes an extra question or two will reveal whether there actually is one or not.
Certainly. There can always be an extra question. There can always be an extra witness called. There can always be an extra paragraph added to
it. That's not really what I'm talking about. But let me ask you a different question. When the ALJ said that she was giving the treating doctor's opinions, quote, appropriate weight, what does that mean? How are we to review that on appeal?
I believe that if I were to paraphrase it, a colloquial paraphrasing would be, I give great weight to the opinion of Dr. Slodke, the medical expert, but I believe these other opinions are generally in the ballpark with what I agree in terms of sedentary work, but I disagree with them in certain particulars, and you can see why by looking at my opinion. In particular, at page 40...
That's not what the ALJ actually said, right?
No, she said appropriate weight, but her opinion is to be given a common sense reading, and this is not an opinion where the ALJ simply ignored the evidence. She went through the evidence. She specifically acknowledged that there were statements that that she could sit for only 20 minutes at a time. I believe at page 45 of her opinion, she specifically says, I understand that there is an argument that she could only sit for 20 minutes, but I disagree with that, and I believe that the evidence is not consistent with that kind of limitation for the reasons that I've discussed in going through these inconsistencies.
As you know, we see a lot of these cases. I don't think I've seen that particular phrasing before. And it seems to me to be particularly opaque. And I'm wondering whether we ought to simply say that is not a sufficient way to address medical evidence.
Again, I believe, Your Honor, in the context of this very lengthy and thorough opinion, that it is sufficient to see how the path of the ALJ's reasoning. Could it have been phrased better? Sure. But I believe in this instance it is sufficient because you can look at the opinions, see where the ALJ's residual functional capacity finding is different, and see where her reasoning is. She disagrees with Dr. Dugan's opinion regarding reaching and pushing and pulling. She explains that through giving great weight to Dr. Slotkey's opinion, who said, no, she can lift pretty well, I mean, push and pull fairly well, but she shouldn't be lifting at all. So in terms of the sitting, she's, again, specifically addressed at page 44 and 45 of the opinion that there are these inconsistent statements. Resolving inconsistencies is the ALJ's job. And in terms of where you have these statements by the doctor that she can sit for, 2 hours in a soft fat chair. And by the way, I should point out that all the jobs that were identified that she could do are office jobs, which would have presumably chairs of the sort we see in this courtroom.
The sort is you see in this courtroom is what you see in a normal office. That's what you're saying.
These are probably a bit nicer.
I suspect so.
But at any rate,
so you're not going to see this kind of cushioning when she's making reference to a lazy boy chair.
Your Honor, I do not believe that there is that the ALJ's finding is not that the claimant required a lazy boy.
Or an equivalent, just even if it didn't recline, something that's really soft.
The ALJ did not, and I believe reasonably interpreted the evidence from that first hearing as saying she required a chair with back support. Dr. Dugan's treatment note actually doesn't say anything about back support. It just said she needs a soft surface. The driver's seat in a car is similarly not a recliner, but it's a chair that generally provides back support. Office chairs pretty much have to provide back support these days. I don't mean to place undue emphasis on that, but I believe that the question is, could a reasonable person interpret the evidence as the ALJ did? The answer to that is yes. It is not an instance where the ALJ ignored the inconsistencies in the evidence. She identified them. She explained specifically that she disagreed with the argument that the claimant could sit for only 20 minutes and that the evidence, the inconsistencies that she had discussed above, supported that. So the question is, could another reasonable ALJ come to the same conclusion? That's the substantial evidence standard. And in this case, I believe that the answer is yes.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Benz. How much time does he have? 2 minutes, Mr. Horn.
First, are there any questions that I can try to answer? If not, all I'll say is that car seats for drivers often recline, and claimant would have a great deal more difficulty if the 45-minute limitation hadn't been so opaque, if it could be tied to a specific piece of evidence. But there was no connection of the dots here, as is required under this court's cases. So for those reasons, the court either ought to remand for award of benefits or for a new hearing.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Horn. Thank you, both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.